And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about we are down south of Birmingham. We're up north of Huntsville. We're Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden. We're parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in for good measure. And by the way, the show is also podcasted, and our second biggest audience remains California. We love you on the West Coast, by the way. We don't love your politics. We just love y'all. We love all y'all. You want to come on down to Alabama, we'll take you. Anyway, hello, California. All right. I tell you what, let me do this. I gotta tell you guys, I actually had somebody call me and say, hey, Phil, what was the number for that law firm? And so I sent it to him. Riley and Jackson. This is the law firm I keep talking about. Riley and Jackson, they're based in Birmingham. They work statewide. They do great work. And by the way, just so you know, they're not only great on the law, they're sort of great on the politics too, if you know what I'm saying. But Riley and Jackson Law Firm has a great staff, and they have been doing the Camp Lejeune water contamination cases. And they actually told me they've got a number of our Right Side listeners who have now signed up with them, which I'm just so glad to hear. But if you or a loved one were at Camp Lejeune, you really ought to call them. But here's the other thing they're working on right now. They've started doing these claims related to firefighting foam. So if you've been a firefighter, or if you were in the military using firefighting foam in some capacity, then some of those firefighting foams have now been determined to be filled with carcinogens. And yeah, there are known cancers that are attributed to exposure to those foam chemicals. So if you were a firefighter or if you were in the military working with firefighting foam, then you need to understand that Riley and Jackson is working these issues right now. They have a number of clients already on. If you want to call them and just find out whether you have a claim, I highly suggest it. Riley and Jackson, here's their phone number, 205-879-5000. If you have a case, they'll bring it. They'll work mighty hard for you. I know they will. They only get paid if you get paid. Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. And tell them, by the way, please, that you heard it on Right Side Radio, because it's fun for them to for me to hear from them that they're getting calls. And Boomer, I'm going to take your time, you bud. Are you ready? Okay, deep breath. Ready? No representation made. The quality legal source before was greater than quality legal source for the lawyers. Where was I?
2.7.
Dang.
Okay. Better than 2.8.
All right. Good enough. Hey, I'm moving forward. I'm in dipper number two. Shaping operations. What is that, Phil? What shaping operations? What are you talking about? All right. So, in military parlance, there are a variety of things that can happen in the area of operations, in the theater of operations, for that matter. A shaping operation is different than an operation designed to have direct military confrontation, all right? A shaping operation is a long-term strategy to help shape the environment itself. It sometimes uses the full acronym of DIME, D-I-M-E, diplomacy, and intelligence or information, military, economic. DIME, it all comes into play. Shaping operations, though, are intentional. They are designed to, and I'm looking, by the way, I went and pulled this. It's from Field Manual 3.0 on operations. Long-term military engagement, security cooperations, deterrence, missions, and actions. Shaping activities help to counter actions by adversaries that challenge the stability of a nation or a region. Ultimately, they are there to provide shaping activities that promote and protect U.S. national interests. Why am I saying all this? Because politically speaking, in my opinion, what just happened in the election was a clear indicator that we're going to spend the next 2 years in a shaping operation. I had hoped that last night was going to be, you know, the decisive battle. I had hoped last night was going to be the repudiation of woke. I had hoped that last night was going to be the, basically the, hey, Joe Biden, go, you know, back to your basement. Well, right now, he's giving a speech. He's in the, literally as we speak, I'm watching both screens on the wall here in the studio. He's taking questions from the press. He's feeling pretty good about himself. I only lost a little bit. That's what he's basically saying. Thank you to all you young voters who came out and voted. Okay. We'll see how he does on the Q&A. I look forward to hearing the recap of how this goes. Never know what's going to happen when Biden gets the microphone. But that being said, shaping operations. What we had yesterday does not appear to have been the direct confrontation with a direct result. Nope. Yesterday was the beginning of the next 2 years. Yesterday was the beginning of the next 2 years of shaping, of literally the messaging, of developing the alliances, of finding the levels of stability that can be promoted, of undermining the enemy's capacities, of making sure that we have the tools in place, of creating deterrence where necessary and confrontation where necessary. Shaping operations go way beyond just pulling the trigger. Shaping operations are what you do for a long haul that helps guide the ability to pull the trigger later. All right, having said all that, let me just jump into some things that we're going to do, I think, over the next few years to shape. Number one, story on the Washington Examiner caught my attention. The House Select Committee, that's the Select Committee on January 6th, interviewed the Secret Service driver of Trump's vehicle. I'm sick of the January 6th committee. You know what happens if we take back the House? That committee goes away. Or at the very least, under new leadership, that committee suddenly pivots and finds out things like, why didn't Nancy Pelosi make sure that security was in place? Why did the guards open the doors on the video? We see it. So number one, the shaping operation, stop the eternal messaging that January 6th was an insurrection that was the downfall of democracy. Stop it. Right now, that's controlled by the House. We will shape that narrative over the next couple of years. Number two, you got things like this. Hotair.com has an entire article on the fact that there are so-called quote-unquote fact checkers out there that are saying that Second Amendment red flag laws are not confiscation. What? Keep in mind that legislation passed just recently that's going to send money to the states for them to begin developing quote-unquote red flag laws. Well, guess what? If for any reason these red flag laws get instituted, they're going to become a Supreme Court issue. The Second Amendment is going to be in play, and I guarantee you someone's going to wind up sending something to the Supreme Court to examine it. Red flag laws are just basically a way of saying, we don't want you to have a gun, so we're going to say there's a red flag waving somewhere. You have something concerning to us. And so we're gonna make sure you don't get your Second Amendment rights. Yeah. Did you get the memo? So, yeah. No, we're not going to do that. Well, how do we stop that? Well, part of the shaping operation is realizing that some of our conservative justices, like, you know, Justice Clarence Thomas, he's getting old. If something happens to Justice Thomas and we have a liberal Senate to do the confirmations, we're going to see another Ketanji Brown Jackson. We don't want that. So part of the shaping operation is trying to gather up what it takes to make sure that we can preserve the ability to preserve civil liberties. Things like fact checkers saying that red flag laws are not confiscation, I got news. They are. How about this? TheBlaze.com. TheBlaze.com has a piece written by Daniel Horowitz. Says the coming GOP fight over legal immigration levels. What does that mean? What it means is there are some Republicans out there who are like, you know, we got to secure that border, but maybe we should go ahead too and also go ahead and just find that pathway to citizenship. No, you don't do any of this. You don't do squat about immigration until you've secured the border and stopped the flow of illegal immigration. It's a migration at this point. It's not even immigration. It's a migration. We have a mass migration from south of our border, flooding across our border every day. Over 4 million people, just since Biden took office, have illegally entered the U.S. through the southern border. You know how that stops? We have the ability to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas. We have the ability to message from a majority, even if we don't control the White House. We control the purse strings. And we look at budgeting, and we look at accountability that we can't do right now because we're in the minority. The shaping operation over the next few years is going to include what happens with that southern border and making it something that we can run on in 2 years. How about this? Let me keep it moving. Y'all ready? This is the neck deep part I'm talking about. These are the things we got to have happening right now. How about this? Epoch Times has a story. You've heard me talk about ESG, environmental, social, and governance. The fact that banks and major corporations are going woke and trying to make sure that everybody is, do you have a proper number of social justice advertisements? Have you given enough money to Black Lives Matter? Do you have green policies at your corporate office buildings? That's not what corporations, if you want to do that, fine. But don't let it be because, the federal government is invoking ESG activism. Well, they are under Biden. House Republicans, according to the Epoch Times, just produced a 1,000-page report last week detailing how the Department of Justice and the FBI have shifted their focus towards targeting conservative Americans who do things like protest at abortion clinics and parents who protest at school meetings. But yet, at the same time, we've got other government agencies like the EPA and OSHA, and some of the others that are, taking the executive order on advancing racial equity to a next level, or looking at green policies that have to be enforced. You know how that stops? We have a shaping operation over the next 2 years that puts in place certain measures that protect our citizens and call those bankers in, call the guy who's head of BlackRock in and make him testify as to why he thinks it's a good idea for corporate policy to be less focused on profitability and more focused on green energy. The only way that happens, y'all, the only way, is if we gain some control and really truly have an agenda, a shaping operation that deals with it. How about this? Story on Fox News dated yesterday afternoon. A woke Pentagon climate literacy poll distributed to service members and civilian defense workers. The DOD is asking thousands of active duty service members and civilian DOD workers if they have enough information on climate change to do their jobs effectively, and requesting to know where they get their climate news. The Pentagon asked these and other questions as part of its 2022 Climate Literacy Pulse Check. The questions went out to thousands of recipients, and the DOD described it as a short, voluntary poll that would be used to make sure the department is able to protect U.S. national security in light of changing climate conditions. The only way this stops is if people like, quoted in the article here, Representative Mike Rogers of Alabama, the top Republican on the House Armed Services Committee, is able to have that chairmanship and begin the shaping operation to do what he said is dealing with DOD's distraction from the core missions of the U.S. Armed Forces. The only way we right the ship of state on some of the woke policies in our military is to have the ability to hold them accountable. We got to take this house back. I don't care if we have a one-seat majority. If we do, we change the chairmanships, and we spend the next 2 years in a shaping operation to make sure that our military leaders know that, yeah, you know what? You may not have had anybody in charge who was going to hold you accountable in Afghanistan, but we're going to call you in every freaking week if we have to and ask you why you're more worried about green policies than you are about China. Shaping operations are huge, y'all. Shaping operations are what we're going to be in for the next 2 years. But shaping operations also require a strategy. They require a plan. They require an agenda. And technically, in D.C., they require a majority. So, yeah, we got some stuff. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, man. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back, have a couple of minutes. I'm going to see if I can garner a little bit about what it is Biden's been talking about now for the last 20 minutes. Oh, boy. Coming up top of the hour, the Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson, and me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Coming up here in just a few minutes, top of the hour, we're going to have the Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville. Right now, though, I got a caller on the line, so let me grab that. Is that Brian? Yeah, Brian from Huntsville. How you doing today, bud?
Doing well. Salutations. And shaping operations, I think I remember one around Ronald Reagan where he agreed to amnesty, and Congress decided not to fund the fence that they agreed to.
Yeah.
And then from before, so that needs to be all or nothing. The other thing is, since before Obama, even before he went into office, it's been the Democrats that are very good at shaping operations. They've done that all through his time. They even did it through Trump's regime, so to say, and they still are. We're just not very good at it.
No, and I can't figure that out, because you know I would have anticipated that that the kind of business type experience, military experience that you typically see, I think more in the Republican Party. Maybe it's just me, but I think you see more of that in the Republican Party. Would have lent itself to having the kind of leaders who know how to plan. But I'm kind of shocked by seeing McConnell literally saying he does not intend to produce a plan until he knows whether he has a majority. I mean, I think you can rally people with a plan for the shaping operation, don't you?
Indubitably, because the Democrats do it even when they're in the minority.
Yeah, yeah. They're some of the best screamers I know of. Yeah.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, see you, Brian. Well, yeah, it's amazing to watch, but it's a bummer too. I mean, the very idea. I hear that McConnell is a political guru. He knows stuff. But yet, wow. I'm looking at my phone right now. By the way, the lovely Charlene just sent me a couple of imagery or text screenshots. Imagery. Hello. Phil's trying to talk to his phone and use words. Use your words, Phil. Use your words. Number one, Biden is doing his speech right now. He's still talking. He's at the microphone right now taking questions. Right now he's doing the kind of the squinty-eyed thing, which tells me he's probably telling a story about Corn Pop or something. But he says there, Biden started off by saying, after did his initial comments, he said, "Now I've been given a list of 10 people I'm supposed to call on, and you're all supposed to ask me one question." Did he really say that? Oh, my gosh. The other one, a reporter asked him, "What in the next 2 years do you intend to do differently to change people's opinion of the direction of the country?" President Biden responds, "Nothing, because they're just finding out what we're doing. The more they know about what we're doing, the more support there is." I don't know. I don't know about that. Now, the interesting thing is Fox News reports that he said at one point, "I'm ready to compromise," which I look at it and go, yeah, now that you know you don't have the House. Well, he does not have the House yet, but he's probably not going to have the House. And maybe not have the Senate. Sure, I'll compromise now, fellas. What do you say? Let's all get together, have a barbecue, figure out what we're going to do together. I mean, come on, man, really? Whatever. But the reality is this: we have got to start shaping the conservative narrative firmly and with some measure of oomph. Or we're going to be sitting here in the next few years going, "What just happened?" Charlene just sent me another one. Let's see what it is. There's a picture of Biden speaking, and it says, and his quote is, "If you look at the polls, an overwhelming majority," I don't look at them much anymore because I'm not quite sure how to read them anymore. "I hope you're uncertain as well." What is that even? I don't know what my wife is as politically astute as anybody in the world, and she tracks this stuff better than I do most of the time. Anyway, I have a feeling that I'm going to have a whole segment on Bidenisms tomorrow. I'm going to have to have this speech broken down phrase by phrase, and the parts that are intelligible, we're going to have to talk about them. I just have this feeling. All right. Hey, listen, by the way, coming up here in about 30 seconds, we'll be going to a break. And when we get back from that break, it's going to be the Grand Council. Me and my brethren, Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 down on the coastal regions of our state, and Dale Jackson, who stayed up all night, by the way. I know for a fact he's going to be delirious. We'll see how that goes. We call it the Grand Council, and we'll be right back. Y'all stay tuned.